Blog Talk Radio.
And if you've been following us, you know that once a month we have our resident professor on board with us sharing about entrepreneurship. And if you're just new to Health, Wealth, and Divine and you don't know who I'm talking about, then I'll give you a little history on my special guest today. Again, as I mentioned, he's our resident professor. His name is Professor Joseph T. Geiger, and he's written an awesome book. He's an author as well as a professor. He's written an awesome book called Entrepreneurial Success, 101 Business Principles, The Road to the Top. This is the third edition, which is now titled 102 Business Principles, The Road to the Top. And Professor Geiger has been an entrepreneur for longer than many of the listeners today, I'm sure, have been born. He's currently retired, and Joseph Professor Geiger grew up on a Kansas farm and graduated from the School of Business at the University of Denver. And over his lifetime, he has started 10 businesses, two of which predated his college graduation. He got a head start on the rest of the graduating class. After his second retirement, he taught entrepreneurship and small business management. In order to help people succeed in business, he wrote Entrepreneurial Success, 101 Business Principles, The Road to the Top. And as I mentioned before, this is the now third edition, and it's called 102 Business Principles, The Road to the Top. And Professor Geiger now lectures and teaches seminars, I believe still at the University of Richmond, and where he currently resides. And we are very, very honored and blessed to be able to have someone with the wealth of experience that Professor Geiger has. And again, with the knowledge that he's compiled in this book, I guarantee you, if you're serious about being your own businessman, or your own businesswoman, or an entrepreneur, you owe it to yourself, you owe it to your business to get this book. And you'll see why as we get into the interview. Professor Geiger, welcome back to Health, Wealth, and Divine. As always, it's a pleasure to have you. I can't wait to get started on another fabulous interview.
Thank you very much for having me, Juanza.
My pleasure, my pleasure. As I always do, I mentioned, you know, we always are getting new listeners because, you know, the show is starting to spread, people are starting to get the word, and whenever I speak to someone, especially somebody with your wealth of knowledge, I mean, you've been an entrepreneur for over 50 years. Again, in your bio, you talked about how you started two businesses before you even graduated from college. I always wonder, when you have people, again, with your breadth of experience, what actually got them started in their field of endeavor? And in your case, you were an entrepreneur before the word became even popular. So I'm sure that the listeners will be interested as well in knowing what actually brought you to this work and ultimately writing the book, Entrepreneurial Success.
I don't know. I needed some money to, before college, and then during college. And during college, I was as a busboy, and then a waiter at a restaurant. And I thought maybe there was another way, and I blundered into a business opportunity And I say I blundered into it because I didn't go looking for it. I just it found me, as it were, and started making money doing it. And I made way more with the little business than I ever could as a waiter. And I could do it whenever I wanted to. I made many times as much. And so it worked out very well. I don't think I grew up in a family business, so I knew about that. But it was just something that I wanted to do. When I found an opportunity, I did it. We've talked about finding opportunities before, and your listeners can go back and listen to those discussions and see how you do that. And then once you find an opportunity. This one where today we're going to talk about a business plan.
You know, when it comes to owning, running your own business, it's going to take energy. And I'm sure that growing up, you know, on the farm, and there had to be a certain work ethic that was instilled in you to actually, you know, take on the position that, hey, I want to start, or I can start and run my own business. And just for the listeners, that this is not for the faint, because it's going to take energy. It's going to take long hours. The reward is going to be great, but you're going to have to put in energy into your venture. Could you just, before we get into the business plan, just talk about that aspect of it? Because, you know, it's not a situation when you're starting and running your own business where you're just going to, you know, wake up one day and, you know, run out there and, you know, put in a few hours a week and, you know, go out and make millions and millions.
it doesn't work that way. If you're working for somebody else, you work maybe from 8 to 5, and if you run your own business, you work from 5 to 8. That's 5 in the morning to 8 at night, and it's not a 5-day-a-week job. It's a 7-day-a-week job in many, many cases. So it is very, very long hours, and it does take a lot of planning, a lot of hard work. Most people, when they first start, I certainly would have to say that when I first started, I did not plan. I just started to do stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think I was kind of lucky, because the odds are that of all the businesses that start, half of them fail in the first year. And of the remaining, another half of those fail by the third year.
Wow.
And so you're, frankly, if you do it the way most people do it, your odds of success are not very high. And the last statistic is, it's kind of interesting, only 1% of the businesses survive to the third generation. Mm-hmm. That by that time they've either been sold or they've collapsed, and all of it is a function of planning. Now, like I say, when I first started, I didn't plan. I just did what everybody else does, or many, many other people do. I just start doing stuff, and it wasn't until I ran into some very severe problems that I was just doing stuff, and it turned out to be wrong. That it caught up to me, and I decided that I really needed to have a better way of doing these things, because without having a plan, it just wasn't working out very well. And so I learned a bunch about planning. And unfortunately, I did not have a book or somebody to teach me. I just I did it because it was in desperation. I mean, things were just not working out. And I had I decided that if I was going to survive, I'd better have a plan to survive.
You know, for people out there that are considering entrepreneurship or even entrepreneurs, to have at your disposal a book or a compass that can actually guide you through the peaks and the valleys, hopefully more peaks than valleys. And if you actually get this book, you can avoid a lot of the valleys that a lot of other people don't avoid. But, you know, just to have something at your disposal, I'm sure, Professor, had you had a book like this back then, you wouldn't be writing this book. You'd be doing something and writing another book, because you would not have made the errors that ultimately led you to the insights that actually brought you to this awesome, awesome book. And for entrepreneurs out there, again, like Professor Geiger mentioned, they're going to be long hours. They're going to be, again, it's rewarding, but the statistics that he gave are, quite frankly, kind of staggering. I mean, that half of the businesses that start failing the first year, and what was the other, by the third year,
you're down to 25% of those who started make it to the third year. So it's a very high attrition ratio. And frankly, that one of the main problems with books and in college courses on entrepreneurship, they're very long on theory and pretty short on what you really need. What businesses, there's two questions that businesses need to have answered. Why do I have a problem? And how do I solve the problem with an executable solution? And an awful lot of things that people get are not executable. They're just theory. Let me give you a real simple example.
Okay.
Some months ago, my doctor said, "Hey, you're sitting around too much. You need more exercise." So that was the problem part. And I knew why, because I wasn't doing anything. And so you need more exercise. So what is the goal? The goal is more exercise. Is that executable? No, it isn't. So what is you have to have a goal to do. What is the goal? So I asked him, well, what should I do? And he said, well, you can go out and you can walk or ride a bicycle. Well, that's still not exercise. That's not executable. How much should I walk? And he said, well, why don't you try 3 hours or 3 miles a day and do it in 45 minutes? Mm-hmm. Well, we're getting close, but I still don't have an executable plan. So
and
I took my little truck.
Measurable, correct?
You can actually do.
Mm-hmm.
So you say you need to walk 3 miles. Okay, where are you going to walk? What is the track? What are you going to actually do?
Mm-hmm.
And walking 3 miles is something you can do, but you don't have anything very specific. So I took my truck and I drove up to a main street and over and back and found out it was exactly a mile and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So I could walk from my house up to that street, turn around, walk back. That's a mile and a half. If I do it twice, now I have an executable plan. I have something I can do. Up to that time, I had theory. Now I have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And in business, it's the same thing. You have to come up with a plan of what you're going to do. And it has to be very specific. And that's what my book does. It talks about not only a plan as a business plan, but it solves many of the other things that people have that they have to do. If you're in business and you want to put up a sign, how do you do that? You write a sign. Well, what are the rules? The rules are simple. If it's a sign that people drive by, you can't have more than 7 words. You can have one picture and 7 words. And if you do that, it will be read. If you don't do that, it will not be read.
Hmm.
And so that's the difference between when people say in business schools, they say, well, you should advertise and you should have signs and written ads and all that. Well, saying that you should have a sign is a theory. Saying your sign should have no more than 7 words in a picture, that's an executable plan. Now you know what you have to do.
Right.
And so when you do a business plan, whether you're starting from a brand new business or you have one that's been running for a month or a year or 5 years, you should have a yearly business plan. And it's really very simple. You must plan your work before you can work your plan. Mm-hmm. And it has to be something that you can actually do. Saying that you ought to have a advertising or a sign is not executable. That is a theory, or it is a problem to be solved, but mm-hmm. you cannot do something based on you ought to have a sign.
Right.
Have a sign that has seven words in a picture. Now you have something you can actually do.
You know, Professor, I'm really excited about this show today because I know we're going to be delving into a particular portion of the book that is really, it cannot be excluded. You can't take this part out and, you know, just somehow get around it. If you're going to be a successful entrepreneur, you are either going to write a business plan to outline and put down on paper what it is in detail plan to do, or I think it's safe to say you're going to fail. Okay, this is not something that you can get around, correct?
Yep. Correct. So, the odds are that you're going to fail. Now, you may not. Maybe you'll muddle through, as I did with my first few businesses. But the odds are that you're not going to make it. And a lot of people say, okay, so you have to have a business plan. What's a business plan? Well, let's define that. A business plan has two parts. The first part is a story about what what you're going to do. What is your opportunity that you're going to have? What is your business plan? What need is it going to meet? And so that is the written part. It's a story about what the need is, who's going to help you do it, what are they going to do, when are they going to do it, how are they going to do it, in what order, what is the market, how are you going to meet the market, and all of this is a story. It is written. There is no math at that point. And once you've done that, or at least outlined it, and I recommend to students and the people I consult with to do it as an outline, then once that is pretty complete and you have a pretty good idea of what you're going to do, then you do the next part of how you're going to do it. And the how part is the math part. That is a cash flow forecast. How much is it going to cost to do what I want to do? Because unless you know how much it's going to cost and when it is going to cost you, in other words, how much money do you need and when do you need the money, the way you find that is through a cash flow forecast. And it needs to be very specific. The problem with many business plans that I see and many that I just see written up is they'll have the outline of the template for the cash flow forecast will have such things as the sales for the first year. Well, there is no way that anybody can come up with out of thin air what the sales are going to be in the first year. Unless you break it down month by month. Now, if you break it down month by month, maybe you can come up with a fairly good idea of what you think you're going to sell in the first month and the second and the third. And then it'll say such things as, what are your costs? Well, there's no way to come up with that unless you break it down with what's the rental cost of the space that I'm going to have. And what's the electric cost? What are my utilities? And what's the office cost? What's it cost to hire people? How many people you need? You've already written that down. So how much is it going to cost to have them month by month? Mm-hmm. So you can tell the way I'm saying this is the cash flow forecast, if it's for a year, which it needs to be as a minimum, it needs to be broken into 12 months, and you need to put down each month what the sales are going to be for each item. An excellent example of that is a Ford dealership does not sell cars. a Ford dealership sells Fiestas and F-150 trucks and F-150 vans and so on. They sell specific vehicles.
Right.
The sales manager cannot call up Ford and send me 25 assorted cars. They're going to need something pretty specific.
Mm-hmm. So color and everything, down to the color and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You have to do that. Now, you don't have to forecast the colors that you're going to sell, but you have to at least forecast the models that you're going to sell, and month by month. Not that we're going to sell 18 Ford trucks in the first year. That's a blooming guess. But what are you going to do in January, in February, in March? And once you go through that, then you'll have a cash flow forecast that tells you very specifically what you're going to do. What is your advertising cost? Who are you going to advertise with? Is it on radio or in the papers or signs or what? And so on. So, and you might have, say, in July, you might have a big advertising push because July or August is when you're trying to sell off your last year's models and get ready for the new. So you're going to have advertising there that is unusually high. If you're going to do that, well, then hopefully it will be followed by unusually high sales. And so those have to track. Mm-hmm. When people give me business plans that show that the sales are the same every month and the utility costs are the same every month, I know this is something they really have not thought through.
Okay.
Because the utilities are not the same every month. It takes more electricity to air condition the place in July than it does in May.
Mm-hmm.
And that needs to be there. So then you'll know how much money you need and when you need it.
This might be a good point to just discuss. I don't want to take the conversation somewhere else, but, you know, we're talking about forecasting and being able to specifically, in a business plan, determine how much, for example, certain, you know, electricity is going to be or, you know, different sales or whatever. At what point would a person do, and I know this might be a rhetorical question for some, but for those that don't know, about a market analysis, being able to study the market to even see whether or not there's a market for what it is that you want, which could help to determine that when you're putting together the business plan, you can help to be specific in what it is if you know your market.
Well, you need to know your market before you start doing anything. Mm-hmm. And so you need to do a market analysis before you start spending money on anything, before you set up your business plan. That would be the first. If you find an opportunity that you want to make or sell a product or a service, and then you need to go out before you do anything else and find out what that market is.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the mistakes that a lot of people make is they want a great big market. Well, Walmart has to have a great big market. But if you're starting out a small business, you don't have to have a great big market. You have to have a market that you understand, and you answer the question of what is the market and how am I going to break into this market specifically?
Mm-hmm.
What am I going to do? And so you need to look at what are other people doing. Are they doing the exact same thing that I want to do? And why would a customer want to switch from somebody now who is meeting their need to my new business that they have no knowledge of? Or it may be a business that you already are running and you're trying to break into another market. Why would anybody want to switch? And unless you have a pretty good answer for that, you may not have a business at all. You may just have a cute idea.
Mm-hmm. Everybody, my special guest today is Professor Joseph T. Geiger, author of the awesome book, Entrepreneurial Success, 102 Business Principles, The Road to the Top. This is the third edition. I see the callers that are online. If you have a question, all you have to do, or just like to make a comment, just press 1 and I can bring you on and you can ask your question or make your comment. We're actually going through the book principle by principle. Now, there are 102. So I want to encourage everybody, momentarily we'll tell you how you can get this book so that when Professor comes back next month, you'll have the book, and this is going to be our textbook, okay, for, and this is class, okay? So we'll tell you how you can get the book so the time Professor comes back next month for the next class, you'll be ready. The next principle is awesome, too, and I love the title, and I know you're going to go in depth into explaining it. It's no pain, no gain. Professor?
Well, when in my classes, I get the students to break into groups of usually 4 or 5 and no more than 5, but say 3 to 5 people, and write a business plan that is usually 50 to 60 pages. And it's a lot of work. And very often I'll ask people at the end of it, if you were to do this again in your own business, what would you change? And it's not at all unusual for someone to say, well, what I'd do for sure is I'd get somebody to write this thing for me. And the answer that I have in all cases is no pain, no gain. A business plan, in my view, 80% of the value of a business plan accrues to the entrepreneur who actually wrote it. Thus, if you don't write it, you don't get that. What you need to learn is in great detail what the problems are and how you go about solving those problems. And if you didn't write it, you don't really know what the problems are and you don't really know the solution to those problems. And you need to know that before you start spending your money. Because once you start spending the money, it's going to go out fast. And unless you have a plan, you know why you're going to do things in order to achieve what goal. And so if you haven't done it, if you get somebody else to do it, no pain, no gain. A lot of people think the purpose of a business plan is to get banks to lend you money or to find people who will help fund your business. That is a use for it. But the big use is for you to really, really understand your business. And what I have found in doing it, every time I did it, when I first started the idea of a business, I thought I knew where I was going. And in every single case, I found out I really didn't. I really didn't know what the problems were, and I really didn't know what the solutions were. But once I got into it and I started doing it, the problems showed themselves, and you had to figure out what the solutions were and how much it was going to cost you in dollars and time to solve those, actually execute those solutions. And that's the reason for no pain, no gain. You really need to do it yourself. Let me say just a moment. I've talked a bit about a cash flow forecast, and there are lots of them out there. Some are fairly expensive, and some are not terribly expensive. And what you want is a fill-in-the-blanks one. You're not an accountant in all likelihood, and what you need is something you can just it'll have a question, and you fill in the blank month by month. I have one on my website, theroadtothetop.com, and it's only $15, and if you get it, I send it to you, and you download it on the computer, and you start answering questions. And if you have a business as complex as a car dealership, you're going to have 26 pages of questions to answer. If you have a much simpler business There's still 26 pages, but the vast majority of the questions you don't need to answer because you're not going to be doing that.
Mm-hmm. Professor, well, let's tell the people how to get the book. And then, you know, without, again, straying too far away from this, I want people to understand that this information that they're getting is how you do it. I mean, if you want to be successful, I mean, when you look at the big corporations that are successful, the big corporations that have been around for years, whose names have become household names, I mean, somebody in that business did this. You know, somebody in that business did it. So if you're going to do it and you're going to be successful and you want your business to succeed, why not arm yourself with everything that you can to have everything at your disposal to help you to make sure that you don't waste time, because you don't want to spend a whole bunch of time doing something and it fails, and then you come to find out that, dang, I wish I had gotten that cash flow forecast. You know, I should have wrote that business plan. Well, you're getting this information now, hopefully prior to you embarking upon an entrepreneurial career. But if not, if you're already in business, this book can still help you, because there are still principles here that either you'll be able to relate to because you've experienced, or you'll be like, okay, let me take heed, because everything that you hear and read, now you're accountable for it. You know, you read it, so you're going to see it, okay? So why not arm yourself with all of the knowledge that you can, so that, and we're talking about over 50 years of knowledge here, that can help you to make sure that your business is a success, and that is the goal. Professor, how can people get this book? I mean, I know I've gotten all three, but how can people get it?
There are two ways. You can go to Amazon.com and type in Entrepreneur Success, where they ask for the name of the book, Entrepreneurial Success, and 102 Business Principles. And when you type in those, it'll take you right there, and you can buy it from them. You can buy it from me directly, and when people do, I sign it. And as it works out, about half of the books are sold each way. And mine is theroadtothetop.com, and click on Buy Now, and there you go. And I'll you have to fill in your name and address and all that, and I'll send it to you. The cost is exactly the same in either case. So that's how you can do it.
Well, before we go to the next principle, Professor, we've got a caller. So you ready to take some calls?
Sure.
Okay, I'm going to call the last four digits of your number, and that way you know that I'm coming to you. 1 second. 4356. 4356, you're on the air with Professor Geiger. Welcome to Health, Wealth, and Divine.
Thanks very much for taking my call. Professor Geiger, thanks very much for listening to your thing. There's a lot of unlikely things in which you're communicating concerning that. The only question that I have, maybe one or two questions I want to ask you. A lot of times you do have a business plan. You know exactly where you want to go. Your structures, your business, and everything like that. And the thing that I want to ask you based upon your experiences, when you have a successful business and you know that it's very viable, you're not recreating the wheel, whatever the case may be, you know, specifically your market, you've done all that. You do that before you enter into business and all the points that you made. But what happens is that it becomes difficult, even though that you may have forecasts, and projection and all this type of stuff, the funding necessary to be able to establish a business in that, not just going out trying to get a grant or whatever the case may be. If this person does not have any creditworthiness, the business does not have any creditworthiness, it's a new business, how do you structure this based upon your principle to be able to have an established business? Because you already know it's everything's projected. It's not actually factual.
Well, that's why I say that you really, the difference between business plans that, that don't work very well and those that do. A business plan, first of all, when you say you know pretty well what you're going to do, do you have a cash flow projection that is broken down by month and is as accurate as you possibly can make it? And I understand that if the business doesn't exist, people say, well, how do you know how much you're going to sell? Well, how much do others sell? How much of what is being done out there do you think you can get? How much of that business do you think you can get? And if you're, let's say, let's make it a fairly simple business that you want to mow lawns in the neighborhood. So how many customers do you have? How many of those do you think you can get? Have you, what kind of survey, have you talked to anybody about it? And you need to get pretty exacting stuff. And that's where most people fail. Their business plans are two or three pages. And there is no way that you can take even a simple business like mowing lawns or taking care of lawns in your neighborhood and put it in two or three pages and think that you have something that is executable. It just can't be done that quickly. So you really have to have very detailed plans. And I know it's a pain in the rear to do it. But once you start spending your own money, you'll find out real quick what a pain in the rear can be. Because you watch your bank account going down and the sales aren't going up.
Well, so, absolutely. I mean, I understand that the principle in what you just said is fine. I mean, that part, I've been in business for a few years. But what I'm finding is in order to maintain what is necessary to run the business, and you know exactly where you're going, you know specifically about what is the reoccurring cost or the fact of the escalation of the costs is based upon, like you said earlier in the broadcast, you know, time of year, season, and all that. All that, I'm past that stage. Now it's becoming the part of actually maintaining it, and a lot of the maintaining or establishing the business moving is that you're taking your funds and you're funding it yourself, okay? And that's when I find it to be very, very difficult, because even when you go to any lenders to have, as we use this term so loosely, seed monies or seed capital to help to fund your business so that it can be more viable, they shun the business because the business has been established for 2 years or more. You know, what if your last tax return? And if you're pretty much breaking even or a little bit above, you know, the red, it's not liquidity enough. The liquidity of the business is not enough that, you know, they're willing to lend you money. So they're saying, well, you know, you need to give your business more time to grow, or they want, you know, so much assets, or do you own this house, or do you own that? And you may not be in that position to submit your business plan to them from that standpoint. So what are you doing there?
Well, here, I didn't realize that you already had it. It is easier to do a good business plan if you're running the business. And what I did for many years, I would run a business and I just solve the problems as they came to me. And then when I finally had a real epiphany in it and I realized this isn't working at all is when I went to a real business plan and took a couple of weeks off of, I kept doing the business, but I didn't try to grow it any. I just stayed in place while I did a business plan. And when I got through, then I had a 12-month cash flow forecast of what I was going to do, where the cash was going, what people were there, when they were, what hours they were working, what they did, and so on. If you go to my website and take a look at the cash flow forecast I have, you'll have an idea. And then once you get that, how do you actually make it work? And what worked for me was once a month, near the end of the month, I would take a look at the cash flow forecast for the coming month, and I would break it into weeks and decide what do I need to do each week in order to to follow the business plan, the cash flow forecast,
right.
And go through it day by day. And then usually on Wednesday, I would say, are we on target? If we're not on target, why are we not on target? And what do we need to do to try to get back on target? Sometimes I had just totally misjudged things and were way off, in which
right.
case you had to figure out, how do I solve this little piece? You're not trying to solve the whole thing. You're trying to solve
right.
this little piece. So your what you found was that your service that you had three services that you were doing for people, and one of them wasn't working out very well. Well, now the problem is a whole lot easier to say, how do I solve this, make this one piece, this one part of our service work better, rather than trying to say, how do I increase sales? How do I increase sales is kind of mushy, but how do I do it for this one little piece is a whole lot less mushy. And then you're now getting down to where you can actually do something. I haven't, of course, seen your business plan, but if yours is like the vast, vast majority of them, it is not very detailed. And if it is fairly detailed, have you broken it down to how do we execute this business plan every day? So you have to plan for the long term, but you work your business plan every single day, and you work it in detail. And I think if you do that, you'll find that you'll have better luck in, if you need financial help from outside, you'll have better luck in getting that help, and you're certainly going to have a lot better luck in running your business, because it no longer will be luck. You'll know what you need to do every week. And if you do it that way, you're going to do a whole lot better than you've done in the past. At least I certainly did. I mean, the first year I did that, we tripled our profits, and we increased the sales some, but we sold a whole lot smarter, and we operated with less costs because we were just doing it a lot smarter.
And if I may,
I think you'll find that help.
I'm sorry, Professor. I didn't mean to cut you off. I just wanted to
yeah.
ask the caller. So I just want to make sure that I'm getting the statement that you're saying correct. So you've gone to lenders, and based upon the business plan, you've presented them with a business plan that they've actually reviewed and looked at and saw the projections. And based upon that, those projections, they're basically saying that they feel that you need to put more seed money into it, or they're saying you
yeah.
need more seed
mm-hmm.
in the game, you need
yeah.
to put more seed in the game, and that without the seed money, they're saying that, and correct me if I'm wrong, that it's like insurance, that in case you don't meet these projections, then the seed money that you have is going to make us feel more comfortable so that we can recoup if necessary. Is that correct?
Yes, that's exactly right. And see, the thing about this is not, and the thing about this is a branded product. It's very, very well known and you know, worldwide in it. And I represent them, and my business is connected with that. I just thought, being an other business myself and so forth, it is easier to sell. The selling part is the easiest, believe it or not, for me, that's the easiest part of it, because it's an identifiable product. Okay, so that's what makes it that much more easy to sell. And my experience and personality and what I do, the selling part is the easiest part of the whole thing. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And profitability is very, very lucrative and profitable too. It is trying to maintain. See, in order to be in the environment that causes you to be connected with the customers directly, and for them to purchase directly from you, where there's hundreds of thousands of people on it on a weekly basis, and I have, just like the professor said, weekly, daily, monthly, that's what I do exactly now. I've done that all throughout the business. The thing is, to be able to maintain the business, because you're making your projections, and sometimes you've got those variable costs that come in there and those unforeseen life events when you're running a business, so that you need to seed money to be able to have, there's no inventory involved with it because of direct sale, so I don't have to deal with that. But those reoccurring courses are on a weekly basis, and that you need to have seed money. So I went to a lot of different vendors and financial people concerning that, and that was their response. So they really feed back to you and says, well, okay, I see you got a viable business, and I see you got money, but then you want to look at, you know, your, like I said, your tax returns, you know, and if it's not, the profitability is like 30 or 40%, you know, above your cost, they feel that it's a high-risk business. And when you have a business that's only been in business for a couple of years, they're not willing to lend that. Or they're going to say, you know, they want you to put more of your own personal money into this investment. And if you can do that, honestly, you don't need that lender.
Mm-hmm.
You really don't need that lender.
I've been there.
You see what I'm saying, Professor? I really don't need them. And it's not like what I need because I have a low overhead, because I'm directly, it's the operating capital of the business plan. That's just for short term. I mean, I'm talking about like 90 days. I'm not talking like even 6 months, 90 days.
Yeah.
That money, the type of business that I have would quadruple.
Well, you know, I tell you what that I think would be more productive for us. If you go to my website, you can write me a short letter on what you've just said. Put your phone number in it, and I'll call you back. And maybe
okay.
We can work out a little consulting here that I can help you, because I've been in your place way more than once and figure
so
out where to... Where to come up with the money you need, how to do that, because I have raised millions of dollars when I needed it, and I've raised a few hundred when I needed that. So perhaps I can help, and why don't we do that, because then we can do a one-on-one rather than trying to do this on the radio, and I think I could
that.
Be kind of a help to you.
Okay. Now the website again, sir?
TheRoadToTheTop.com.
Zero.
And
TheRoadToTheTop.com. Yes, sir.
Yes.
Okay, I thought you said zero. Or the road to
the top. TheRoadToTheTop.com, and it'll say contact the author, and click on that. You can send me an email. Make sure you put your phone number in it so we can talk one-on-one.
Okay. That would be fair enough. But I just want to, I was just listening to you know, your broadcast, and I'm grateful to do the blog. I don't know why this phone is doing this. And it's not, I'm not even next to the phone, but the fact is that this is what I see in a lot of the businesses that they have in there. They structure these businesses, and it's not profitable. It makes a person frustrating that, really, do I really want to be an entrepreneur? And if I'm an entrepreneur, then I'm out here, like, you know, in the belly of a whale. I'm about to get eaten alive.
Yep.
Well, sir, I am very, very glad that you tuned in today, and I guarantee you, Professor is going to be able to assist. This information is so valuable, and I encourage everybody that I know that's an entrepreneur to make sure that they get the book. I mean, because if you get the book, I mean, there's some things that, again, you'll be already, I mean, just even this conversation, you had a situation that Professor has seen more than once. You know what I mean? And so I guarantee you that this book is going to be a benefit to you. I'm so happy that you tuned in, and I ask that you spread the word to any other colleagues that you may have that may be in business, because this is going to be able to benefit them as well. Professor Geiger has been in business for over 50 years, I mean, and has sold planes, I mean, you name it. He's done it all, and so I guarantee you that this information is going to be able to benefit you. I'm glad you were able to connect with Professor Geiger, and please spread the word.
I sure will. Thanks very much, guys.
Okay, thank you. Peace and blessings. Professor, I know you've seen when I'm sure there's hardly any situation in business that someone can tell you that they've seen or that they're facing that you haven't seen. just because of the longevity that you've had in business and being in business for yourself. And I'm glad that a situation like that was something that you had the information and are going to be able to help the caller because, again, you've seen it many times.
Well, I think I can, and what we need to do is for him to write me a note, email me a note, and then when we can talk on the phone so I can get a better handle on very specifically, because it's one thing to try to answer questions in theory and with basic principles, but it sounds like he needs something a great deal more specific than that. And I'm sure I can help because, as you say, I've had manufacturing businesses and service businesses, retail, wholesale, all kinds of things, and each have their own problems. He sounds like he needs a little money, and maybe I can guide him in the right direction.
All right. Well, we've got a few minutes left. Let's look at another principle.
Okay.
Business plans are written for the entrepreneur. That I think you touched on it when you talked about that write it yourself. Did you want to explore that a bit more, or did you want to move on?
No, I think, as I said, 80% of what is to be gained by writing a business plan is for the entrepreneur, 20% for the lenders and others. But the big thing is to do it where it really helps the entrepreneur. So why don't we skip on ahead to the next one.
Okay. The simple works best.
Yeah, this is people tend to get very complex. And there was a famous Chinese writer who wrote a little treatise. It's only about 47 pages long, a little tiny book called The Art of War. His name was Sun Tzu. And Sun Tzu said the same thing. The simple works best. In his case, he was talking about planning for a battle and planning either defense or offense. And in business, it's the same way. Don't try to steer away from the complex. One thing that will happen to you, whether you're in business now and you're planning for your next year or it's a brand new one, once you start in, the situation is going to change. The military says, regardless of what the plan is, it changes when the first shot is fired. Mm-hmm. And that is true in business too. Mm-hmm. If you have a complex plan, it is very, very difficult to realign all the moving parts. So try to keep it simple. And the simple definitely works best.
Okay. How about the next one, which is you must have skin in the game. That's important. We just had
your caller was talking about that. Remember when he said the people have told him that he needs to have more invested in it, and that is absolutely true. Nobody is going to invest in your business, whether it be a loan or what it is, unless they feel that you have a bunch of skin in the game. Mm-hmm. If you don't have much to lose, why would I want to risk my money and let you lose it? If you have a whole lot to lose, maybe I am more motivated to risk my money because I know, first of all, you're going to lose yours first before I lose mine.
Right.
And you don't you understand that you don't want to go broke. And so you need to learn to have skin in the game. And the more skin in the game you have, the easier it is. Remember he said, if I had all that money, I wouldn't need them.
Right.
Well, maybe you can figure out a way that they think that you have virtually everything you have is invested in this. And they will they'll be a little more motivated. People will say, well, now I'm putting myself at their mercy. Well, no, you haven't. You've put yourself at your own mercy because you funded this thing yourself. And if you're saying, well, I've got $10,000 and I'm willing to put 100 of it in the business, nobody is going to help you out under those conditions. But if you put 7,000 of your 10 in it, maybe they will. If you put 8,000, they probably they'll be a lot more motivated to do it. And that is then just how do you write a contract so that you're not at their mercy. And
you know,
that's a whole different subject. But you have to have real skin in the game, or nobody is going to help you out.
Could you explore this a bit, just because the caller, we know that banks, they really not just want to lend money, they need to lend money. You know, so with that in mind, you know, that's their business. They lend money and they collect interest on the money that they lend. So it's not as though that they don't want to lend the money. They just want to make sure that if they do, that the odds are in favor that the loan is going to be repaid, and especially the person that's doing the analyzing of the paperwork, because, you know, they want to make sure their head doesn't roll. You know, they've got somebody
right
to answer.
There's some, John said, there's some real principles here. If you're a little guy, if you're a small business, don't bother to go to Bank of America. They're not going to be interested in you. I mean, that's just the facts. So you want to be a big fish in the small pond, not a little fish or a big fish in an ocean. There's lots of big fishes there, and they're not going to be interested in you. In addition to that, the big branch banks, the people you actually talk to, do not have the authority to blow their nose, much less lend money. All they do is take information, and then they turn it over to somebody else who is going to make the loan decision. You need to go to a small bank where the person you talk to actually can make a loan.
Mm-hmm.
And if you walk into a large bank and you see a bunch of folks there, and you say, I'm interested in the business loan, and they said, oh, yeah, you know, sure, let's fill out all of these and give it to me, and I can see what I can do. My next question is, do you have lending authority I need a loan for $10,000. Do you have $10,000 worth of lending authority yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And probably the answer is going to be no. If it's one of the branch banks, it's absolutely going to be no. If it's a small regional bank, maybe it will be a conditional no, or even a kind of a yes, and now you have something. So I don't know who he talked to, but
right,
my experience has been if even when I had a pretty sizable business, I never went to a big bank. I always went to a small one, because there you could talk to a person who could say yes. And there's no purpose in talking to people who can only say no.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
I don't
true.
Care whether you're trying to sell an airplane, or you're trying to get a loan, or you're trying to get an investor, whatever it is. You're trying to get somebody to buy a product. If they cannot say yes on their own recognizance, you're wasting your time.
Mm-hmm.
You need to go to talk to somebody who can say yes. In other words, stop at the top, start at the top and work down. Don't start at the bottom and work up. A number of years ago, I was selling airplanes, and I got the bright idea to sell airplanes to the Border Patrol. And I had been selling them to police departments. And I found out over a period of about 6 or 7 months that when I talked to the aviation director, he couldn't buy anything other than gasoline, but he certainly couldn't buy an airplane. So when I decided to try to sell something to the Border Patrol, I talked to the guy in charge of the Border Patrol in Washington, D.C., and about 2 months later sold him 10 airplanes.
Wow.
If I had to talk to the regional guides, I could have done that for years, and all they can say is no. They cannot say yes.
Everybody, my special guest today has been Professor Joseph T. Geiger, author of the fabulous book, Entrepreneurial Success, The Road to the, well, let me start over. Entrepreneurial Success, 102 Business Principles, The Road to the Top. This is the third edition. This book keeps growing and growing and growing. Professor, I want to, again, tell everybody, go to theroadtothetop.com. That's the, or the, road to the top. .com. Make sure that you get a cash flow forecast. You're going to need that. And share this information with someone that you know. Do them a favor. If you know someone that's an entrepreneur, we've got the holidays coming up. All right. This would be somebody's always having a birthday. If you know of somebody that is an entrepreneur, this book would make a perfect gift. It doesn't even have to be the holidays. It's going to be a perfect gift anyway. I guarantee you they're going to benefit from it. TheRoadToTheTop.com. And make sure you get the cash flow forecast. Professor Geiger is a regular. He is our resident professor. He is the god of business. Okay? We want to thank you, Professor, for being our special guest again. And, to the caller, I want to say thank you so much for tuning in and calling in, because you asked a very, very, very important question, and your situation is something that entrepreneurs deal with. And fortunately, Professor Geiger was able to answer that, and I know that moving forward that you're going to be getting some beneficial information. Professor, as always, thank you, sir. Any parting words for our listeners today?
Not at all. Get the book, and if you have a question, go to the website and send me email me a question, and I'll do my very best to answer it.
Okay. Again, everybody, Professor comes on once a month, okay? And, again, we started off, and today we talked about the business plan, and, again, we're going through the book principle by principle. So, again, make sure you get the book so by the time the next class comes around next month. Till then, everybody, thank you so much for your time. Professor, take care as always. Fabulous show.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving. Bye for now.
Much. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Everyone, that is Professor Joseph T. Geiger. Again, I'm going to say it again. The book is called Entrepreneurial Success, 102 Business Principles. If you're going into business, you need a map. You need a guide. You need somebody that's done it. You need somebody to take you by the hand and say, hey, listen, watch out for that landmine over there. I've been there, okay? Watch out for that over there. I've done that. You've got somebody that's going to show you situations that you've either seen or situations that you're going to see. Been in business for 50 years. Take advantage of this information. The cost of the book could save you millions of dollars, okay? It's a no-brainer. Get the book, and until the next time, everybody, my name is Juwanza. By the way, tomorrow we're looking at the Asante model with Orwa Hehi Metura Nkamit, Paramount King of the D.C. region of the Aseraset Society. We're looking at the Asante model, and we're looking at different aspects of that model and seeing how can we take information from that model and apply it to our lives today. I think you'll find that very, very interesting, okay? That's on Wednesday. On Friday, we just started another series with the Aseraset Society. This is on five-element balancing Qigong with Shechem Meta Uneta. The last show was the overview. Awesome show. Go back and listen to the archives, and meet me on Friday, 7 o'clock to 8 p.m. I'll be speaking with Shechem Meta Uneta, okay, and we're going to be talking about five-element balancing Qigong. But don't forget, tomorrow, Orwa Hehi Meta Ron comments my guest from 7 to 8, and we're going to be talking about the Asante model. Make sure you tune in for that. My name is Juwanza. Thank you so much for listening to Health, Wealth, and Divine. Until the next time, et cetera.